Hello and welcome. You're watching Left, Right and Center. I'm Osama Shah. From Maharaj of Tariffs to profiteering oil trader, Donald Trump's trade advisor, Mr. Peter Navarro, he says that India does not need Russian oil. It's just running a Kremlin laundromat. Very wise words coming from Mr. Navarro. But let's try and understand the wisdom involved. With 50% tariffs about to hit Indian goods, it is very much fair to say that Washington is being hypocritical. And it's not just me who's saying this, but this is what New Delhi also says in a very clear and a polite manner, reminding America that they once asked India to keep buying Russian crude to stabilize world markets. So let's talk about it. Is India really profiteering? Or is India just pragmatically making sure that the global crude oil prices remain stable, which is something that the US administration was once behind? And it's a little surprising that Washington is singling out India and not China. This is a simple question. Why does China, the world's biggest Russian oil buyer, get a free pass while India is being painted the villain? Donald Trump's confused trade policy, it conveniently ignores Beijing's actions, for it needs the trade relationship, perhaps. Yet, in his grand pursuit for the Nobel Peace Prize by ending the Ukraine war, he seems to be throwing New Delhi under the bus. Now, India is not taking it quietly, allying with its BRICS partner to hit back. In fact, here are the key meetings that are planned or have already happened among the BRICS leaders. Later this year, Prime Minister Modi, he's going to be visiting China for the SCO summit. Vladimir Putin, the Russian president, he will be visiting India very soon, again later this year, probably in November. Dr. Jay Shankar, the External Affairs Minister, he has already met Mr. Putin in Moscow. Prime Minister has already spoken to Vladimir Putin. The Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi was in India. NSA Ajit Doval, he was in Russia. He met the Russian president. In fact, Mr. Lula da Silva, he dialed Prime Minister Modi. The thing is, it's oil, it's tariffs and geopolitics colliding. And it is a high-octane battle where Delhi's choices could tilt the global trade, diplomacy and, more importantly, Donald Trump and the White House's next move. Well, a lot has been said. A lot is being said. We'll try and decode some of it. Joining me at this point of time, Ashok Sajjanar, former Indian diplomat. I have Jayant Krishna, senior fellow, Strategic and International Studies, CSIS. I also have Professor Andrew Latham, author and a professor at the York University, USA. Gentlemen, a very warm welcome. Let me start by asking you, Mr. Ashok Sajjanar, and this is regarding the India-US tensions as far as the tariff is concerned. The United States, it is going to be hitting India with 50% tariffs. At the same time, it is sparing China. From India's perspective, is it fair to say that Washington is weaponizing trade to pressure India into abandoning Russia?
Yeah, thank you very much, Osama, for having me on the show. You're very right. You know, meaning we have, first, the 25% tariffs were imposed, and then after that, another 25% tariffs at the beginning of August, which are to come into position on the 27th, if there's no agreement between the United States and Russia. We have termed them as unfair, unjustified, and undesirable. And they are very hypocritical also, because we have stated that the clip that you showed of Dr. Jaishankar, it was very clear. He said, the largest importer of oil is China, the largest importer of LNG and gas from Russia is the European Union, also Turkey. No tariffs have been imposed on them. India is the first country on which this 25% tariffs. Even when Mr. Putin was with President Trump in Alaska, Anchorage, there he said that trade between the two countries has increased by 20% since Trump came to power. So Russia can trade with the United States. Yeah. United States money can go to Russia. That also helps to support their war against Ukraine. But that is of no consequence. You will not take any action against them, against EU, against China, against Turkey, all of them. And also, if it is the trade deficit between India and the United States, India is number 11th on the list. There are countries like Canada, like Vietnam, like China, like Mexico. There are 10 countries above India who have higher trade deficit with the United States. So, you know, meaning just on that basis,
when you say that, why is it then that India is being targeted?
Yeah, I think that is a big story. We can sort of, you know, go into it. I think what Mr. Trump expected is that all these big countries, whether it is EU, Japan, South Korea, they are bending to the wishes, demands and desires of Mr. Trump. And India, which he thinks is economically not as strong as China, militarily not as strong as Russia, has dared to stand up against the United States. And also, maybe it is also linked, I think it is linked definitely to the fact that India does not acknowledge that Mr. Trump had any role to play as far as the so-called...
Yeah. All right, we seem to have lost that line, but let me go across to Jayant Krishna. US, it keeps saying that India is profiteering from whatever that is happening in Russia, especially the war that is taking place between Russia and Ukraine. Is India really profiteering? Is what I want to understand, because India, it is just pragmatically making sure that the global crude prices, oil prices are stable. And that is again, something that India has reiterated, that this is, look, this is something that the United States administration has asked us to do.
See, very, very clearly, you know, President Trump doesn't seem to understand the basics of international trade. You know, there is a law, Ricardo's law of, comparative advantage of nations, right? You know, if India has invested heavily in refining facilities, right, oil refining, and if it is the second largest importer of crude oil from Russia after China, you know, and it puts that crude oil to use, refines it and sells it in value-added products, right? That's the basic of any international trade, right? You import from somewhere, you value add and sell it to other countries, right? So why should India be, singled out, right? It's very, very unfortunate, so I think just because the investments we have made in oil refining and ability to sell it to the value-added products to different other countries, you know, we are making profit. And in business, profit is not a dirty word at all, right? Yeah. So I think President Trump needs to understand. And, you know, I think what is ironic is that, President Trump, on one hand, it's quoting, Russia through Putin, you know, at the same time, you know, he's holding fire on China. But let's understand, with no supplementary tariff, right? Russia imports more crude oil from China imports more crude oil from Russia than what India does, right? But there's no supplementary tariff of 25% or whatever, right? But in India, he's very, very extremely stringent. So it doesn't understand. And I mean, one doesn't understand why is he doing that. And let's understand, it negates all that which has been done in the last 25 years by Indian Prime Minister Atal Bihari Vajpayee, then Dr. Manmohan Singh, and later by Narendra Modi. Or to make this relationship between US and India a more strategic, you know, US wants an expanded, footprint for its products in India, more market access, right? US wants India to develop as an alternate to China in terms of supply chains, manufacturing supply chains, right? Indian diaspora is second to none. It's so strong in the US, and India is best placed to address Chinese economic aggression. You know, despite that, if he wants to belittle this bilateral relationship, which is more strategic than operational and than tactical, I think there have to be better negotiators and economists on the US side to take over the negotiation process and look at it. And what is that he calls India as a tariff king? It is absurd. Yeah. If you look at the weighted average of all products that US exports to India and India imports, the weighted average tariff is just about 4.6% of all products put together. So how do we become the tariff king? Just because we want to protect our farmers, small and marginal farmers, and dairy entrepreneurs, it doesn't make us a tariff king at all, So it is defying all laws of negotiation and of international diplomacy what we have been seeing in the last few weeks.
And it is quite simple, gentlemen, because that by having this relationship with Moscow, India is simply safeguarding its national interests. It is not risking being seen as bankrolling Russia's war. Professor Andrew Latham, how does one make this, make Donald Trump understand this?
Well, Donald Trump, we could talk about this at the level of
diplomacy. Does he understand this in the first place?
No, that's where I was going with this. He understands some things. The rules-based international order is falling apart. It's being dismantled, in fact, not just by him, but by others. And he kind of gets that, and he's trying to create a hub-and-spoke system with the United States at the center and everybody else, kind of in bilateral relationships. And he was making some headway on that. The Japanese, as one of your guests pointed out, folded, and the Europeans folded, and the South Koreans folded. And then he bumped up against India. But here's what he doesn't understand. This is not a world in which you're either on Team USA or you're not. This is a world, especially in the Indian case, with a long history of non-alignment and now multi-alignment, where India is willing to do what's in India's best interest, which is to navigate between, once upon a time, two superpowers, now a number of great powers, one of which is Russia, another one of which is China, one of which is the US. He can't get that into his head. So when Prime Minister Modi says no, he throws a tantrum. And he has a very bad reaction, and he starts doing the only thing he fully understands, which is to act like a real estate mogul, and he's kind of raising the costs and the prices, and he's trying to use sticks, whereas he should be using carrots. If you really want solid geopolitical strategic relationship between Washington and Delhi, the way to go about it is not the way he's going about it now. It is to say, okay, we understand that states act in their own national interests. They buy oil that's cheap, and they sell it when it's dear. But we're going to do some negotiating behind the scenes because nobody in Delhi doubts, despite the recent progress on smoothing the relationship, that China is a threat to India.
Yeah,
not just a territorial threat, but a string of bases, the so-called string of pearls, etc. Those two countries have fundamentally different interests.
Yeah.
And many, many Indians until recently would like to be more closely aligned with the United States. And Donald Trump is making that much, much more difficult than it need be.
Yeah. And Professor Ashok Sajjanar, you know, India, it has been repeatedly saying that Russian oil is essential for energy security at the lowest cost. I want to understand, how crucial is this for protecting India's own growth story? Because as Jayant Krishna also mentioned, that and Professor Latham also mentioned, that we are living in such a volatile world, it's such a polarized world, that looking after our own interest should not be seen in the bad light. So how crucial is this for protecting India's growth story?
Okay, two points here, Osama. Number one, I think strategic autonomy is, keeping our strategic options open and not allowing anyone else to have a say in what India decides is it in its own interest. I think that is very important as a principle. Now, coming to what you have mentioned about, buying the Russian oil. If the Russian oil, Osama, was to go out of the global market, you see the prices of oil, crude and refined, would touch the skies. They would touch $140 per barrel, $150 per barrel. In my country, where about one third of the population does not have access to commercial energy, those rates are just not viable. The other point, Osama, if you permit, the question that you asked about, getting Russian oil and sending it out after refining to the global markets. Once that oil comes to India and once it gets refined here, it's under the HSN nomenclature. It is no longer Russian oil. It is an Indian product which is going out into the international markets. That is the basis of any international trade. So, it is not Russian oil that we are sending out. It is Indian refined products that are going out. Yeah. And you would recall that both EU and America had stated that India is doing the world a favor by getting the Russian oil, refining it and sending it out. Otherwise, even for the EU countries, the prices of energy have gone up after the Russia-Ukraine conflict, they would go even higher. And that would make things particularly difficult as far as EU countries are concerned and the world is concerned. So both of them, before Mr. Trump came, had thanked India for doing a favor. So, you know, it is he is just shooting off the hip without understanding what are the implications, what are... you know, how it needs to be handled. And I think a cooler sense needs to prevail, saner sense needs to prevail in the United States as far as negotiations are concerned, as Mr. Jayant Krishna has said, and then only we can come to some sort of, you know, it's not like what Mr. Marco Rubio says that China is being, you know, very philanthropic and Scott Beeson
the
says...
The only thing that I can, the only thing that I can say at this point of time, that it all boils down to this. Cheap oil, costly tariffs, and a geopolitical balancing act that could redefine India's place in the world. Is New Delhi really the Maharaja of tariffs or just the king of pragmatism? We'll leave you, we'll leave it to you to decide. Gentlemen, thank you very much for being a part of this fascinating discussion. Thank you. Time for a very short break. More news and updates on the other side.